welcome back Gary Collins, the heavyweight champion of podcast appearances. Gary, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back on, James.
Yeah, I haven't actually counted up, but I'm positive you've been on the show more than anybody. So, and wow. There's a reason. I like having you back. So, you should wear your WWE title belt with pride.
I do. I'll make it out of tinfoil and some cardboard when I get back up to the house, and I'll display it proudly. But yeah, I'm oddball. I like doing interviews. I enjoy them. They're fun to me. It's much funner than doing anything on social media, which I have a story on that too. So,
yeah, social media. I haven't made one of those like pussy bitch posts. Like, I'm tired of social media, I'm getting off. But I haven't really spent a lot of time on it recently. I get burned out on a lot of things, but social media for sure. So, if the listeners have not heard your numerous other interviews, give us like the real quick mile high. Who is Gary Collins?
Gary Collins is an interesting individual, I guess. I'll give the shortest version I can. At least I've been told. I don't think I'm too interesting, but I guess other people do, which is good, right? In a good way, not in a bad way. But I grew up in a small town, grew up poor, put myself through college, was an athlete, ended up in the military intelligence, and then became a federal agent, got my master's degree in forensic science while I was in the military, and worked for the U.S. State Department, Diplomatic Security Service, then went to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and then went to the FDA at the end of my career. I spent half my life at the time I left in the federal government, and it was interesting. So I left and I got into health, and wrote some health books that were primarily intended for clients, but I published them and they sold, which was shocking. They did pretty well, not great, but better than they should have. And basically taught primal and paleo health and how to live a better life. And then at some point decided, a long time ago, actually, but put my plan into action and bought 20 acres and built a house off the grid. And then live in my travel trailer half the year, and I've been living in it for 5 years doing that. And now I have changed directions of the company yet again, in a good way. I just realized I was going in a little different direction in health. You know, I could only do so much. It's still within what I teach, but my new website's called thesimplelifenow.com. The book series is called The Simple Life. And I'm writing books, basically self-help, self-improvement, self-reliance, how to better your life. And through my experiences of what I've done and what I've experienced in my life. So it's no theoretical BS and, oh, hey, I want to sell you this and I just made up this problem you have that you really don't, but I need to sell you a product kind of thing. It's, you know, I'm not perfect. I've screwed up a ton. But I'm also closing in on 50 years old. People are pretty shocked by that because I always think I'm younger. But I've had some, I've had some decades of experience in life, and I feel, and it wasn't me wanting to share them. It's actually people learning about my projects when I do interviews, the health interviews, and they're like, hey, that sounds kind of interesting. That's where that off the grid book came from. I never intended to write a book about going off the grid, ever. It was my own life experience. I wanted to do it, and people just flooded me with emails, and I started documenting, wrote it, and it's been an Amazon bestseller for a year now.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that kind of spurred the whole, kind of got the direction going in a different direction, because as my life has changed, and the company needed to change with me, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. A lot of brands, people, companies tend to get really stagnant, and they're just like, they'll just keep plowing down the same like path over and over, and it's like, I mean, I think a lot of times some of the longest, like, fans, readers, listeners, whatever, will get, they'll just get bored and they'll move on. Like, you can keep picking up new people, possibly if you're still relevant, but if you're just that stagnant, I think eventually you'll run off even your most diehard fan. They're just like, well, you've been doing the same shit for 20 years now. I'm done. I've grown up. I've moved. Like, you may, like, when I first got into like the paleo primal scene, you know, eating that way and learning about it, what it started out as and what it is now is completely different. Like when I first got into it, a lot of, you know, like, say like the gut health wasn't as big. Some of the other things, like things have changed. Like, when I got into low carb, the electrolyte consumption wasn't being pushed like it is now. Like you just kind of like suffered with not having enough electrolytes. And it wasn't like, you know, people didn't really focus in on that. Like, oh yeah, if you're eating a low carb diet, you're going to need a lot more electrolytes, which is counter to mainstream knowledge of like, no, you want to minimize your salt consumption. You don't want enough sodium, you know, which is bullshit if you're not eating processed, you know, shit all the time. You know, yeah. Like if you eat a steak and don't put any salt on it, you know, you're not really getting any salt in your diet, you know?
Well, so. and a lot of that has to do with obviously the way we consume liquids, and primarily we don't consume very much water, most Americans. And if it is, it's tap water. If we're in nature and you're drinking, you know, out of a stream and out of ponds, I mean, we used to have a gut biome that could handle stagnant water, which we can't anymore. Still, it was iffy. It could still kill you.
Yeah.
But all the electrolytes are pretty much contained within there. And also the animals are grazing and drinking. You know, they have all of it in their system, stored in their fat. You would get it, but you can't anymore. It's very difficult today. So, yeah, with the diets, that's one of the reasons I got out of there. It kind of drifted out of health. A, I was bored to death, bored to tears. I couldn't do it anymore. And plus, we discussed before we got on, it's everyone's a health expert today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why what I've always taught from the beginning works, because it's not any specific, you know, caveat of diet. It's about living and eating and moving the way you're supposed to, the way the human organism was intended. So there doesn't have to be any real severe modifications to what I teach, because if you're doing it correctly, it just works. Now, if you have some deficiencies here and there, maybe some genetic issues, sure, you're going to have to tweak it. But overall, the system is pretty straightforward, and that's where I would get frustrated with health too, is there's all these ass clowns that just make it super complicated. And it's because they're just trying to keep you hooked and sell you something. And I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not. It's what you see is what you get. What I teach is what I teach. And has it changed here and there? Sure, as I've learned a little bit more here and there. But overall, the principles of what I teach in health are exactly what I taught 10 years ago. There's no difference. And, you know, that's a horrible business model, though, you know, if you're not continuing to put out products. And just to me, like I said, I like the health world. I'm into it. I mean, I've always tried to be the healthiest I can be, and I've learned a lot over the last 10, 15 years. But what I realized what I was teaching was more life simplification and more, I would say, life enhancement would be the best way to put it, I guess. And like I said, I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy in the room by any stretch, but I live my life a little bit differently than 99.9% of Americans, and it was in the pursuit of freedom. To me, it was about prepping. It wasn't about being a survivalist. I love those groups. I'm in all of them. But for me, because people would go, what are you prepping for? I'm going, I'm not prepping for anything. I mean, yeah, sure, I have some supplies and stuff in case something goes wrong, but I went, I'm just doing this for freedom. It's about living free to me, how I want to live, without inflicting a pain on anyone else, which is a harsh concept for people today to understand.
Oh, yeah.
Because as humans, we've just lost our minds. We punish each other mercilessly for absolutely no reason, to include ourselves. And I'm fascinated by that. I don't know why, but I'm just not wired that way. I don't have that in me to where I'm like, I gotta cause pain on someone just because I can. I don't have it. I'm like, you know, I just want my life to be good, simple, not easy, because I think easy is the wrong word.
Yeah.
You know, because people take that to the other extreme and they think playing video games and laying on their couch all day, weighing 300 pounds at age 22, that's the easy life. No, that's just lazy. That's just pure laziness. And you're contributing nothing to society. You're doing nothing to better yourself. You're just a bunch of cells, useless cells on the couch at that point. You know, and that has negative consequences on the rest of society by you having that attitude.
Right.
Because now people like me and you have to pay for that. We have to work that much harder because your healthcare is going to be that much more expensive. You're going to be less productive. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't believe in the grind yourself to death way of life that we live today. We can thank Henry Ford for that. You know, he's the one who created basically the slave labor market that we have today. Oh, it was more than, I think it was more than 40 when he experimented and he had so many people walk off the line.
Oh, yeah.
That he didn't do it for the good of the people. He had to figure out what was the maximum amount he could get out of people before they would break.
Right,
basically.
Yeah. We're on that bell curve. Like, where could you work them until they broke? Like, you have to back up. So you still get, you get like the highly productive people, you know, they can keep working, but you don't kill your people, like, which is disgusting, but it's, you know, it's life.
Well, it was his son who actually had a lot to do with it. It wasn't him. His son actually pushed him to be nicer and actually be nicer to his employees. He, if Henry Ford was a real dickhead. I mean, if you – and that's the thing about our history too, is our history is so warped that people look up to these people now that were not good people.
No.
At all. They were terrible human beings. And there's a few today that are floating around that I'm pretty shocked that people hold them on a pedestal and I go, these are evil people. Straight up. I mean, there's not even – you don't even have to debate it. But I guess for me, as coming from law enforcement, my background, I look at things a little bit differently, and I have a much stronger BS meter than most people. I'm not saying that's good. It can be definitely bad in life at times because you see the negative in a lot of things, and I've had to kind of deprogram myself. But I just – you know, it's like social media we were talking about earlier. I've stopped pretty much using – I never used it personally very much, if at all. I mean, I would hardly use it, but I had to have it to have the corporate accounts for my business.
Right.
And the last interview I did, I announced, I said, if you need to get a hold of me, do not hit me up on Facebook. You know, I have an email form on my website. You need to fill it out. You need to put in the effort. Fill out the form. I answer every one of my emails. Unless it is some weird rant crazy, which I very rarely get, but I get them every once in a while, I'm not going to respond to that. Or you're trying to bait me or you know, marketing, I'm not going to respond to those. But I don't feel that in my business model and everything I teach, the simple life, well, first of all, what I teach, you should not be wasting gobs of time on social media anyway. It's completely unproductive. Zero productivity comes out of most of that. You know, and what I'm teaching is use your time wisely. You know, use it better. Better yourself. And most people today, the three things they complain about are lack of time, they're unhealthy, and lack of financial resources. Well, everything I teach teaches you how to have more of all three of those.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm trying to market to you. It's because of what I've done. I looked at it and said, I want more of those three things. How do I go about doing that? And of course, I was, you know, at the end of my 30s trying to figure it out like everyone else. And it's a hard question because we've been brainwashed today. And with social media has definitely brainwashed us into it as social. It's called social, but it is the least social way of communication there really is. It brings upon bullying. And I don't mean it in the snowflake way. I don't want to get into that. You know, that's a whole nother issue. But people being able to say something to you without consequences. You know,
right.
Someone says, you know what I mean? Someone says something wise to me to my face, you're probably going to get punched in the throat, you know, no matter how big you are. I'm not going to take it. You know, I treat everyone with respect. Once you cross that line and now you're disrespectful to me, there's going to be consequences. You know, on social media, there's
you can
zero
do on social
consequences.
Media. Like, you could block
zero.
Someone. That's whoopity-doo, yeah. If you could reach to the monitor and punch him in the face, though, people would say a lot less shit.
Well, it's passive-aggressive. It's very passive-aggressive. And that's the way we've become as a society. We need to move away from that. And that's why my stance of getting away from social media is also the stance of, hey, I'm trying to enjoy my life to the fullest. If I'm on social media and you have a direct pipeline to me at all times, asking me questions, repetitive questions over – and I'm not saying – a certain individual. It's just that's the nature of the beast because people aren't going to know what the conversation was before. it, you know, social media is a flash in the pan. It's gone. You know, so you're continually regurgitating the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I'm all, do you want me to produce things that are beneficial to you and for me to enjoy my life? Well, social media is not going to help me do that. Don't get me wrong. I still use it here and there, and I use it for marketing purpose to put out new books and say, hey, I'm doing this sometimes. Facebook's dead. I have no desire to use Facebook pretty much ever again. I don't care for it. I never have. But, you know, and I want the people who follow me to understand that. And I'm not saying you have to close your account, run away, go dig a trench and hide in it. What I'm saying is use it reasonably. Use it, you know, here and there. I've found far more negative consequences than positive from social media. And go out and talk to people. That's a problem I'm having too as well today, is a lot of people don't know how to communicate. And I find conversations awkward at times. And I'm like, what is wrong? And you realize these people aren't used to talking to people. And that's a problem. You know, we're a tribal organism. We are based on small communities, not large ones. You know, the metropolitan cities are an interesting human experiment because we're not intended for that. We're not wired for that. And so, yeah, it's kind of – that's what I'm kind of looking at and teaching, is how we better utilize our time, how we become more social, and how we treat each other better without the, you know, I'm not giving hugs and kisses and puppy dogs and butterfly speeches. I'm more of a straight edge guy. But I think even in the business world, especially, there is a lack of understanding between the business owner to the consumer. And it's not only that, but it's just turned into sheer greed. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with stuff this week that I'm baffled. I mean, I am baffled how poorly I've been treated, and I did nothing wrong. I was just asking for the service and paying for it and getting the runaround. And I mean, I've never seen it. The customer service today and service industry is got to be at an all-time low worst. My biggest complaint is the low-end employee. And I dug ditches. I worked in restaurants. I washed dishes. I mowed lawns. I cleaned toilets. You name it, I've done it. I grew up poor. There was no easy road for Gary. I had to do all this on my own and pay for all this crap. So I'm not saying this disparagingly. I made $3.35 an hour when I started. You know, and these people want some of these people want $15 an hour, and they don't even know or understand the product they're selling.
No.
At all. I'm explaining the product to them, and I'm all, hey, I'm trying to get this product from you, but I have a couple questions. Does it come with this? And when it shows up, you know, what's the size? Does it fit this? And they literally have zero idea. They don't even know the product at all. And I'm all, how can you sell this product? You don't even know. You don't know anything. And the companies aren't training them either. They're just throwing them to the front lines and saying, sell it. I don't care. We need to make the shareholders happy, and we already have more money in God. We want more money than every universe that could possibly exist in the future. That's how greedy we are now.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, wasn't there? Whoa, that was a little bit of a rant.
Yeah. Before we get to the next question, I had the first question. You've changed directions a bit with the new book series. I think we've covered that. We've covered that.
Real quick, because we did get on tangent. The old book was, of course, I turned that off, and I still get I love technology. That you heard that? Totally turned off. All this is turned off, and I still get the notification. The book that most of your listeners are familiar with is Going Off the Grid. That started it. Primal Power Method does not really exist anymore. Like I said, it's the simplelifenow.com is the new website. I still have the supplement line. It's under the new brand. It's still great stuff. Added 5 new supplements. Go check them out. The new books are The Simple Life Guide to RV Living. And then the other one is The Simple Life Guide to Optimal Health. And they're subtitles, but they're long. I want to get in, you know, you go look it up on Amazon, they'll pop up. But those are the new books. I'm putting out 2 more books this year. One will be a life kind of Decluttering Your Life book. I haven't figured out the title yet. And another health book, but the health book is 99.9% sure it's going to be free. But I'm going to be giving that away because I think it's that important.
Yeah.
I forgot to throw all that in there because people are like, who is this guy? What the heck? He's all over the map. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been dealing with customer service for about the past week or two. I have hit the point where I am completely sick of my internet here where I live in my tiny house. I've got AT&T, U-verse, DSL. I've had the modem go out 3 times in 3 months. I just opened the box today to hook up the new modem that they sent me because the other one was being iffy. Sometimes I'd get good service, sometimes the service should shit itself and no one could get on the internet. So they sent me a new modem, opened the box, it doesn't power on from the box. You know, so, and this is after, you know, I'm paying for like 3 megabit service, which, you know, like would be great 20 years ago, but now is kind of, paying for 3 megabit service. And they've actually bumped down my speed lower and lower because I'm so far from like the closest node that is causing traffic jams, you know, so like the service keeps getting worse and worse and it seems like it's getting more and more expensive. Like I'm paying $60 a month for shit, I'm struck. Like I was contacting the two big cable internet companies, Charter and Comcast, which have service near here, but not here, you know, and try to see like, you know, like on my street alone, there are dozens of people who would love to have better internet, you know, and I'm not like super, super rural. I'm not like you. I'm not on top of a mountain, you know, like, you know, there are neighbors a couple hundred feet on either side of me, you know, on both sides of the road. Like, you know, it's rural, but it's not like deep, deep rural. So, you know, there are a significant amount of people on this street where it would make a good investment to run their service here, you know, and I couldn't even get a quote for running. I couldn't get a time frame. Like, it's just, nah, we don't have plans to offer service there. I'm like, well, why not? When are you? Do you as a company just not want money? Like, I don't get this, you know, and I'm back to the brick of like, do I just keep suffering with shitty internet or do I go to satellite and deal with data caps? Like, you know, what do I do? It's pissing me off.
And I've dealt with that too. Although the service I was using went to unlimited last year and it's Verizon and I've loved them. I've always had great luck with them. They've always been good to me. You pay for it. I think they got caught off guard and got slammed and all of a sudden I went over and my internet wouldn't work at all. And I went, hey, you know, you guys said, and there we go. I've turned this stuff off. It won't stop. I love technology. Just won't stop. And I've been dealing with that this week too. And the internet stuff is tough. It's important for me because I live remotely and I travel around I run an internet business. This has to work. I can't have any ifs, ands, or buts. I went, this has to work. So for me to grow in the future, actually, I'm going to have to change some things and I'm not quite sure how, but, more than likely in the next couple years, I'm just going to buy another house in a southern part of the country where I can spend 6 months with hardwired internet, reliable. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't understand why this is such an issue. Like, obviously, there are a lot of people that want better internet. Like, every time you see a big issue like this, it's a big business opportunity, and nobody, like, it's just not being filled. I don't understand it.
No one cares. It's basically, like I said, I used to investigate major pharmaceutical companies and, you know, medical companies. I'm telling you, it's straight up greed. I say this in the health community and people have heard me say this. There is no money in healthy people. It is not in the interest of hospitals and medical institutions and the drug companies for you to be healthier. Think of that. I mean, honestly, when you strip it all down, there's no benefit of them curing you or helping you.
No.
Because they can't make any money doing that. Because the easiest way to be healthy and not go to the doctor and not be on pharmaceutical drugs is to exercise and eat properly. That there's no rocket science to that one.
No.
You know, no, there's just not. There just isn't. And even the food companies, there's no desire for them to produce healthy foods for you because the solution would be healthy foods. Well, unhealthy foods make you spend more money and eat more crappy food because there's no nutrition. It's filled with sugar, which is addicting. So you keep eating. You eat far more calories than you ever would if you were eating healthy food.
Right.
And that's the – God, for the love of God. I don't even know how to stop this. I mean, literally, I got everything turned off. And, you know, it's not just them, but it's corporate America has, again, it's lost its perspective. So I don't blame the low-level employee, the entry-level employee. It's not necessarily all their fault either. You know, they're not getting the proper training because these companies are too cheap to train them. And then not only that, the companies don't have a good pool to hire from anymore. There's shortages throughout all the labor markets primarily, oh, yeah. You know, especially entry level and your trades. And trades right now, if you're going in through your life bumbling along and you go, oh my God, I can't seem to make it, this and that, you're not motivated. Because I'm telling you right now, I've got people that I have to pay over $100 an hour with no college education, with no real job experience who learned a trade, but they're the only ones around that will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making over $100. They're charging over $100 an hour, and they're turning down work.
Yeah.
They can't find apprentices at $25 an hour to work for them. They'll show up for one day, work for $25, no experience. 18, 19-year-old, they'll quit the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
$25 an hour. When I was in high school, if you paid me $25 an hour, I would think I was rich.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm, you know, $335. Don't get me wrong. The economy, obviously, things have changed, but it hasn't changed that much.
No,
it hasn't changed from $335 to $25 an hour.
$25 an hour is still nice money. I mean, you're not going to be buying limos and shit, but you can easily like make a living anywhere with $25 an hour.
Well, the problem is though, what we've taught in society is the more you make, you just keep spending it. And that's another thing I you know, in my books I talk about, you know, every individual in this country has the ability to be a millionaire. Even if you're not working a high-end job,
mm-hmm.
if you're working a decent paying job, have a good trade or skill level or run your own business, you will make over $1 million. More than likely, you will make over that in your lifetime.
Yeah,
we all have the potential to be there. The problem is we spend every single dime and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? 60% of Americans right now have less than $1,000 in their bank account.
Yeah.
And have zero retirement, 50% have no retirement. What are we doing? I mean, we're just not thinking. And that's why I said I felt there was almost an obligation to share how I've been able to better my life. Because if I just sit here and live and, you know, go, oh, Gary, you're so smart. You know, how's that helping anyone? And I'm just not that way. You know, and like I said, none of my stuff, I don't think it's groundbreaking, but I've learned lessons. I've done fairly well for myself with minimal resources. I've just learned how to make my life a little bit easier, a little bit better. And yeah, there was some drastic changes I had to make, but the only reason they were drastic was because I had gotten ingrained into what we were taught inside. Just keep blowing your money.
Oh, yeah.
Work yourself to death. And you turn 70, you put on your diaper, and you die 5 years later in the nursing home.
Basically, bigger and bigger house. Yeah.
Bigger and bigger house. I got rid of my house. I sold everything. Downsized. Best decision I ever made.
Speaking
by far
of getting rid of your house, one of your new books is on RV living. What would you say the advantages of living in an RV are? And we've gone back and forth on this, like RV, tiny house. So what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. And I have a chapter on tiny houses in there, and I also have a chapter on that in my Going Off the Grid book. Because people took the wrong perspective on my feeling on teeny houses. I'm not against teeny houses by any stretch. If you do them correctly, and me and you have talked about this, you did yours correctly. What people are doing is they're jumping on the mini house trend of going to these companies that build them, and I'm talking teeny houses, which are 500 square foot or smaller on a piece of land, a permanent structure, and then the teeny house mobile or rolling chassis, which is kind of like an RV.
Right.
I'm saying stay away from those because these contractors –
yeah, if you want to have a mobile home, get an RV. It's built for it. They look nice and they're good on TV, but practicality, like you're just, I want my house to be small and stationary. I want it to stay here, for the most part. If I have to move it, then I want to use it's a special occasion. Yeah, I want to pick it up and move it and then drop it and let it sit again. You know, much like moving a house, you know, I don't want it to be
mobile. I'm a DIY guy. If you're going to go that route, do it yourself, learn some skills and do it that way. But like I said, anything that becomes trendy, you got to be really careful with because the wolves come out instantly. So the former bad contractors who are ripping you off doing construction on your house or building your house are now building teeny homes of, 500 square foot or less and charging you $600 a square foot.
Right.
Because it's small. And I've heard this line. I have literally listened to a contractor with a client. He didn't realize I was listening. He said, well, smaller houses are more expensive to build. And I went, oh, my God. I've heard that line over and over and over again. And I go, in certain aspects, yes. Because if you got to get a concrete truck up, yeah, you're probably going to have to pay the full – but in the big picture, a smaller house – is far cheaper to build than a big house.
The only way that a small house, the main thing that makes the cost add up is a lot of times when you're building small, you can get that more expensive. Like, if you're going to put like real marble flooring down, but you're only putting it in like, a 2 foot by 2 foot like bathroom, you can kind of afford it. Whereas like, but even then it kind of balances out.
Yep.
Marble flooring in that tiny of an area compared to like, what VCT or vinyl, it's not really a huge price difference and you get that luxury feel, but they're charging a premium on top of using better equipment. It's like, yeah, we use better equipment, better material, but we're just going to tack on you're a yuppie fee basically. So
it's exactly what it is. It's the sucker fee.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you want, and so they're smart in the way that they do this is they go, well, this big city dweller, this yuppie doesn't know anything. They can't even, put a faucet in. So I'm going to tell them it costs a lot. And to them, they're moving from a house, say if they're in the Bay Area of California, where it's $1 million plus for their small little, 750 square foot house in the city or whatever it is. And then you're selling them a 450 square foot house for like $300,000. They're all, what a deal.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, holy shit, what are you doing that? You can build a mansion. That's a mansion. That's gold toilet seats and everything with that square foot price. If you were to build it yourself, it would cost you like $50,000.
Yeah.
If that. It's so small, and that's what I mean. It's you have to be careful, and that's the again go back to the health industry. Same thing. It's anything that comes across as trendy is usually a scam.
Yeah.
It is perpetuated to get more money out of the consumer. It's like mountain biking. I'm a mountain biker. Have been forever, and. I remember when my buddy bought the first real mountain bike, which was a Rockhopper. I think that was the first real mountain bike. It was built in the Bay Area. Sammy Hager, I think, originally designed the first one,
nice.
Which is interesting. But the mountain biking industry now has gone off the rails, and it has been for a while. They keep changing stuff because it's a bike. The technology, you pedal it, it's got a chain, it's got brakes. We moved up to disc brakes, hydraulic brakes. Are they better? Yeah. But they hit a plateau probably about 5-6 years ago, as far as the technology couldn't get that much better.
Right.
So now you went from 26-inch wheels, which were the standard forever. Now there's 27.5. Now there's 29-inch. Now it just keeps – they keep sucking you in more and more, and I'm all – now 26-inch tires are real expensive to get because no one's riding 26-inch rims anymore. You know, and I'm all – you just shake your head and you go, God damn it. You know, pardon my language.
Yeah.
But I get upset. I'm all, I just want to ride a bike. Can I just ride a bike? And then it's, well, you got to rebuild your shock every year, your front and rear, and you need a new chain, and you need – I'm all, no, you don't. I've been riding bikes since I was 7.
Yeah.
I've tore apart more bikes and rebuilt them, and I go, you do not need to do that. That is BS. It is – that's what I mean. You get to a point where I think – and I think what's happening is people are getting fed up. I think people are – they're finally waking up between the government and then the big corporations just steamrolling them.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, I've had enough. This is enough. Because what we're doing is we're just making, you know, immoral people filthy rich is what we're doing.
And, yeah, we're doing it by the droves. So you've been working on your off-grid project for several years now. How's it coming along?
It's been doing good. If I could get the last piece of contractor out of there, you know – I wrote a chapter on this too in the Going Off the Grid. That was a people love it. There's been a couple contractors who, gave me a little bit of, you know, shaking their finger going, how dare you? My husband's a contractor.
Yeah.
He's honest. And I went, so he isn't.
Yeah.
If he was honest, you wouldn't have to write this email.
No.
Obviously, I picked the scab and he's ripped a bunch of people off and now I've called you out. And, you know, it's just, unfortunately, again, it's not just contractors. Like I said, it's across society, so I'm not picking on contractors. It's just that segment right now is what I'm dealing with, and I'm just frustrated. I swear to God, I built my own TV stand. I finally got fed up and just went out, and it took me a day to go get the materials custom. It looks totally custom.
Nice.
It cost me $120 to build. It's a solid wood, most of it that I did, and I'm like – it's just stuff like that, you know, just dealing with these guys. I just shake my head. I just go, I'm paying you. I'm paying you more than you're worth. Can you at least do the job? Just do the job. That's all I ask. I don't ask, you know, I'm not overly picky. I'm anal. Don't get me wrong. But you should know how to do this stuff better than me.
Exactly.
And that's the problem I'm having is the last sets of doors I've had hung. Not but with me and my new guys that I've had work for me a couple years are fantastic. It's when we get outside of what we can do and I have to order something in, it just turns into a shipwreck.
Right.
People don't even know how to install doors anymore.
Nope.
Doors pretty simple. And I've talked to a bunch of people. They go, my doors are screwed up too. I go, I don't understand. I know how to put in doors. I can put them in. They don't leak. They're square. It's pretty basic. But I don't have the time. I need it done that day. I need it to come up, do it right then, because I got other stuff to do. And I have to haul this stuff up. So, you know, I'm looking to shortcut here and there. And plus the doors that I bought, the replacement doors, because the first contractor put the wrong doors in. Yeah.
Man.
Well, the new doors are $5,000. And people go, holy God, you're dumb. You're rich. I go, no. This house is exposed to a lot of harsh weather.
Yeah.
These are the right doors for the lifetime of this house. I can either buy cheap doors again like my original contractor did, even though I paid for the doors I'm buying right now.
Ugh.
I paid for those. Yeah. These guys are great. And I wasn't there. He knew it. He threw them in. I come up a day later and I go, that's interesting. That's not what I paid for. And, of course, the guy is cleaned out and he's off. He knows. And, you know, so I'm putting the right doors in. Well, I'm not going to install those myself because I don't want the liability coming back if something goes wrong because they're so expensive.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so I expect you to show up and they show up. They'll love this. I plan this all ahead of time before I get up there. So they get up there that day. It's done. The guy orders the wrong size doors. I measured them for him. I took pictures of them. I went and met him in person. He went up there, measured him himself, and he still ordered the wrong doors.
Sweet mother of Jesus.
Yeah. The poor installers, I felt so bad for them because they're like, this is our whole day. We plan to do this the entire day. And, you know, you just sit there and you know what? It's not that the guy's a bad guy. He just has never installed a door before. If he had taken some training and gone out with guys and watched how doors were installed, he would have known the door he ordered, there was no way in the world it was going to fit. No. I mean, we sat there and looked at it. We went, if we rip everything out, start from scratch, go right to brick, it's still not going to fit.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't a little bit off. It was the next size door that was replacing the door that was in there was the standard 6'8". Well, he ordered a 6'10". It's like, it's a retro.
Holy shit.
How's a 6'10" door going to fit in a 6'8" retro? It's not. Anyone who's in knows that it's not going to fit. You know, especially with a brick structure.
Right.
You can't do. You can take a jackhammer and start jackhammering, you know, your space out and get your concrete saw and cut it out. No. That's a retro door. You're putting in a retro, so it'll fit in the box you have.
Oh, my God.
So it's stuff like that where you just, you know, and people can probably hear the frustration, but I'm not the only one. You know, I deal with this stuff here. I talk to people all the time who are doing off the grid because I get a lot of people hitting me up and they go, God, Gary, I've listened to you for years and I've heard your stories. And now that I'm doing it, oh, my God. They go, you are dead on with everything you say. We're experiencing the exact same thing. Guy's not showing up, doing half the job, taking the money, running. And once you get a good one, that's the other side is, you know, I have good ones now. You know, don't be a jerk. You know, that's hard work. I've done a lot of contractor work for myself. I've helped other people, numerous houses, I've owned apartments, did all the work myself for the most part. It's not fun. It's hard labor. It's hard on the body. You get a good one, treat him right. You know, I gave my guy a raise without asking me. He was doing a good job. He was busting his butt. I bumped him up.
Nice.
Because I said, you do good work. You show up. You didn't ask me for it. I gave him an extra $5 an hour. I thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the other side is I also see the flip side of the contractor world of where the customer is a shithead.
Yeah.
You know, where they just don't understand. They have no knowledge of what the guy's doing. And they just treat him like garbage. Just treat him like he's, you know, a substandard citizen. And again, you can't do that. That's not the way to act.
I could speak to the opposite side of things. So you went above board sort of contractor and you've dealt with a lot of horror stories. I've done it with, this is my first like large scale sort of construction thing that I did. And I've had to learn everything. You know, I was kind of familiar with some electrical things, but I've had to do all the electricity in my house. I had no plumbing experience. And my bathroom now is almost completely finished. Because, you know, before, for years, as a single man, I can go shower next door. I can poop in the composting bucket. I don't need running water. You know, I can just pick up my heavy, you know, water storage tote, pour in water, make my coffee, and go about my day. You get married and have a kid, though. You need that bathroom finished pretty quick. So the running water, I don't have pictures up yet, but my Japanese soaking tub, bathroom, shower stall, it's almost completely done now. You know, I'm having to learn as I go, and there needs to be a name for the days that you have to take, like, 6 trips to Lowe's. Like, you go to Lowe's, and you're there for, like, 2 hours trying to figure out what pipes fit together. You get home, and you're like, fuck. That's not the right pipes. So you have to go back to Lowe's again, which is like 30 minutes, 40 minutes away. And then you find the right stuff. And then you come back. Fuck, those still aren't the right things. Back to Lowe's again. You know, it's
Well, yeah.
You deal with frustrations either way. and you know, both of us have been building about the same amount of time, I think. And you know, I've been living in here while I finish it, but there's still, you know, there's no trim in my house. The bathroom is still only like, at this point, I'd say it's about 85% complete. There's, you know, there's tile on the floor. There's a, I've been taking, me and my wife and my stepson have been taking showers in there for, you know, a couple weeks now, you know, with propane hot water heater and stuff. It's not perfect, but, you know, we're getting there. But
well, and that's the thing with these projects, you have to be patient. And that's, I tell people there's three things you need to have if you're going to live this lifestyle: patience, a plan, and some finances. You could try and shortcut one of those if you want to. It usually does not go well. And I don't mean that to be in a harsh way. It's just my experience with, and I've met hundreds and hundreds of people living this lifestyle, starting out, doing it. I've noticed if the people who come in with those three things are far more successful than the people who come in with one missing or none.
Right.
You know, they just wing it. I've run into a lot of people, especially, you know, it seems to be kind of, you know, just people just decide they're going to say screw it and just buy land and figure it out. And it's just, it turns out a disaster.
Yeah.
And they don't even last a year. Most of them, I have it around me. I've had multiple people last year that moved in out of nowhere, not the highest, you know, plan, and they're all gone. I came back, they're already gone. And that's the thing of what I wanted to prove too with what I'm doing is I do it for the common person. I mean, I didn't come from long lines of money. You know, no one's rich in my family. If they are, they're hiding because I've never met them. That I wanted to make sure that what I teach everyone can do. You know, even if you're working at Starbucks, going to school, you can do what I did, what I'm doing.
Right.
You're going to have to plan. You're going to have to save, but you can do it. I mean, my house is a little more expensive because in the beginning, we talked about this last time, is I started off with a rough plan, but once I had to go back and fix a lot of stuff, I upgraded what I was going to do because I was going to have to do the work myself now.
Right.
So I said, you know what? If I'm going to do it and I have to do it, I already know I do all this stuff, most of it. I can make it really nice for a little extra money.
Yeah.
Why not jump it up a couple levels? And, you know, I'm still paying 20 cents on the dollar compared to if I had someone else do it.
Exactly.
But yet the quality is a couple steps up. You know, so I made my countertops. I made them. I made all my countertops in the house. You know, I did all wood. All my window, bottom window casing, window sills are all wood that I made, that I cut, routered, and did all that. So all the fine work, my closet shelves, I made out of wood. I made, you know, I did all that stuff. The shower's all custom. We did it with, you know, me and my guy, I have a helper comes once a week. We did it with decorative tile and tile and, you know, made it look really nice. And that's what I did. I laid all my own tile again. I swore I wouldn't do it the last time I did it. I did a whole house. I said I will never do this again. I ended up doing it again.
Yeah.
But all that stuff, you know, would most people do that? Probably not. And I say that. You don't have to do it this way. I'm doing it this way because this is kind of my dream house. I'm a little later in life. This is my getaway. This is where I plan to write. You know, this is where I plan to write my books for the most part. And so it's got a little different feel to it, and it's all done by code. So I'm going to get my owner occupancy certificate. I'll be able to get an equity line on it if I want to. You know, when I go to sell it, I'm not selling just the land. I'll be able to sell the structure and land together. I talk about all this in my book that, hey, this is an investment. You got to be careful how you do some of this stuff.
Yeah.
If you dump 150 grand into a structure, you know, don't pull any permits and don't do it to code. Well, when you go to sell that, you're going to lose all your money because what are people going to do with the house? I know this for a fact. I've seen it happen. Literally, the houses are worthless because now you have to demo that house or you have to go register with the city, have it all inspected. Engineers involved, it is a nightmare. You do not want to go that route. So no one's going to buy it. No one's going to buy it for the house, for the most part, unless you're selling it for cheap. And, you know, so that's what I mean. I think I write more to the everyday person, too, of how they can do it. And I think it does. I think almost anyone can do what I'm doing. Because I don't know about you, but you were single. The argument I always used to get and still get is, well, you're single. All you it's single and your dog. That's it. I go, I'm telling you right now, I'm the minority living this lifestyle. I travel all over the country. You know, I take my RV with me to, you know, when I leave for South, you know, I travel quite a way south. I go to different RV parks. The majority of people living the way I live are married with kids.
Yeah.
The single people are probably 10%, if that. And it's a lot of retired people, but I'm noticing that just people, family, they're homeschooling, they're doing everything. It's families. The majority are families.
Yeah. I know, you know, like I started single, but I've known quite a few married and with kids people doing it. Now that's me, so it's not just for the single, you know, guys with dogs. It's for everybody.
It really is, and that's what I wanted to try and relay, because the, you know, a lot of people, they, you know, I get comments, God, Gary, I listened to your stuff, I read your books, oh, I love it, I just can't do it. And I go, why not? No, I instantly, my email, if you email, I get emailed those, that same email all the time, I just go, why not? And I get the whole list of excuses.
Every bullshit excuse that, they can throw at you.
And I dealt with that. Remember, I come from the health world. I used to work with clients.
Yeah.
I've heard it all.
It's the same excuses no matter what. It's, I can't do this. The people that can't lose weight, it's the people that can't, like, live off grid. Like, there's no real excuse. It's just them fighting themselves. That's it.
Well, and you know, a lot of people and communities get into the, well, you know, it's too restrictive. The government's out to get me, this and that. I go, hold on. We still live in the freest country in the world. I've traveled all over the world. I've been to some real hellholes. I'm telling you, the U.S. has it really, really good. You know, even with all the problems we have, you just have to take your mindset and live within the framework that we have, which is a ton of freedom.
Yeah.
Still. So you just have to change it. Okay, what can I live within, you know, so, you know, most of societal norms? You know, people think living off the grid is some extreme. All it is just not living with public utilities. You know, some people like to say, well, no, you need to build your own house. You know, you need to do this. You need to do everything. I'm on, no. That's not really the definition of living off the grid. You know, that's the extreme living, which is fine, but that's not for most people. And I love that. I wanted to do that, but it's just, I run a bit. I can't.
Right.
I wanted to try it out. And I still might do an experiment some point in my life and do it for like a year somewhere remotely. But, you know, for most of us, we still have to have – we have one toe out, one toe in is the best way to put it. We're still in society, but
right.
We've got one toe out. You know, we're still living the life we want to live. And we still want to have running water, a working toilet, you know, internet access.
Internet, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I try and make sure – and that's the response I've gotten back on my books is a lot of people go – the way you teach it is the way I feel better about it now. I used to look at it as too extreme and that, but the way you explain it and the way you did it, I can do that, you know, for the most part. I go, yeah, that's why I wrote it, you know. I didn't write it just to sell books. If I was going to write to sell books, I'd be selling you some other dream.
Yeah, you'd be putting out 16 keto books right now and a workshop.
Oh,
that's where the money's at, those online classes. Gary, I know you said you were short on time, and I think we're running long. I got one more question, and then
sure.
I'll let you get and take care of your business. Because I, you know, want to be respectful. Because I wasted half of our interview trying to get the software to work.
Oh, no problem.
So you've released a new book on health. Are you planning on writing about health still, or are you done with it?
No, I feel that health is the cornerstone of what I call the simple life. And I will preach this to the day I die. Am I going to write 15 keto books or 15? No. I'm going to put out what I feel you need. There might be one more. If I do another health book, it's going to be like the encyclopedia. I put together all my experience and make it into one, you know, one big resource book.
Right.
That would be the probably – but. With these two books, the free one that's going to come out this year and the one I did this year called The Guide to Optimal Health, it's the subtitle is How to Be Healthy, Lose Weight, Reverse Disease, and Feel Better Than Ever. God, I can't believe I remembered that. And I kind of put all my experience and wrapped up the Primal Power Method pieces and just put it all back together and cleaned it up and added new material, some new stuff that I think people, and it takes you to an A to Z. It's got health, it's got nutrition, exercise, and, you know, dealing with diet and intermittent fasting. I kind of get into a little bit of all of it and put all the pieces together.
Nice.
And explain it to you without any paleo primal rub. You know, as far as title, it's more of my philosophy, and those pieces fit. They're part of it, but it's not specifically primal. It's not specifically paleo. It's not keto, low carb. It's all my pieces tied together.
Right.
Of what I feel. So there, you know, there could be other health books, but without your health, that's where you really, I feel you need to start. Because if you feel bad and you're not at your best, it's hard to live a simpler life. If you're a guy next, you live next to a hospital, you're like the average American on 3 to 5 prescription drugs, you know, how is that going to simplify your life? You know, an average person is 50 to 100 pounds overweight today.
Yeah.
How does that make your life eat? It doesn't. So if you start there, not only that, but the cognitive function. When you become healthier and you figure this stuff out, you go, oh my God, I can think again. Your brain becomes far sharper. You make better decisions. You make better rational decisions. And people are pretty floored by this when I talk about this. But when you're unhealthy, the mind just goes. You will find yourself making decisions that you go, why did I just do that?
Yeah.
And it's because unhealthy body, unhealthy brain. You know, that brain-gut connection, been proven. You know, you eat a crappy diet, you don't exercise, your gut health deteriorates. Well, guess what? The vagus nerve runs right to the brain. And you start to have, you know, cognitive dysfunction, have problems remembering, migraines, headaches, cognitive fog, dizziness. You know, I've noticed a lot of people are suffering from ringing in the ears now, too. Which has been around, and I have a good strategy of what causes that in their diet. But you know, a lot of that stuff is basically, a lot of your health elements, almost all are related to your diet and exercise program. And people think that's just some BS. I go, yeah, we have genetic issues. We do. Because as the species evolves, we pass on these traits. But we have found through science and through epigenetics and studying of our genetics that they can be reversed. We can bring them back.
Yeah.
For the most part. Can you fix them all? No, not necessarily. But for 95% of the people out there, you change your diet, you change your exercise program. And I'm not talking, people think I do some extreme exercise program. I work out 3 days a week for about an hour.
Yeah.
But I walk every night. Me and my dog go for 2-3 mile walk. I work. I walk all over the place. It's not that I just – that's when I lift, because I love – I'm a gym guy. I'm a sports guy. I grew up that way. Gym time is my therapy, and that's another thing that they have found through studies, that working out produces better hormonal reaction and psychotropic reactions as opposed to psychotropic drugs. That working out has far better a reaction to it than if you were to go out and take all these medications, especially for depression, which we're finding out now we're seeing suicide on the peak starting to rise.
Yeah.
And what's coming in right behind it is the opiate addiction, and also a lot of people taking drugs for depression, anxiety. It's all on the same curve if you watch it. You know, and it's sad. It's sad. I really want people to get healthy and better their life. Because we're all better for it. Truly. We all are. We communicate better. We treat each other better. You can live in a better world. I really believe that. Now, it sounds crazy. But, you know, who wants strife in their life? Who wants this stuff? I don't, you know. I don't want to have conflict with people all the time. You know, is there times when you got to have it? Yeah, there's times when you got to get, you know, get in someone's face and tell them how the world works.
Right.
But do I want to deal with that every single day? No, absolutely not. No. You know, do I want to fight wars all over the world? No. We should not be doing that.
No.
And that's not, you know what I mean? War is a last ditch effort. And again, a simple analogy would be, trust me on this, it's a sick one, but Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was notoriously known to be unhealthy, had a lot of psychological issues, and was hooked on methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Let's take that as an extreme. I hate to use that because it's such an evil time in our history. I mean, one of the evilest, if not the evilest man to walk the earth that we know of.
Right.
Think of that. If you dig into his background, his health was horrid. And like I said, he was hooked on methamphetamine. His doctor would inject him daily. Think of that. What does that – you kind of compare that to the average American and what their life is. And I know I'm making a real weird, twisted analogy, but I don't think I'm too far off. We're unhealthy. We're miserable. We're addicted. What you, good cannot come from that. It cannot.
No. That's I really need to get you on sometime to just a whole episode all about health. Yeah, you're kicking over some stones here that are true.
Well, I didn't want to go that route. Now that I'm hearing what I just said, I went, "Whoa, wow, that was pretty dark."
The things that you just said, though, I'm like, that could be a documentary on Netflix, and I'd watch that shit. Like the unhealthy, addicted, and sick. Yeah, that's America.
Well, and that's what I mean. You see constant bad decisions. And you go, well, are we that broken or is there something else underlying it? And yeah, it's societal expectations and what kind of that treadmill we're on, but it's also our health. And that's why we say everything starts with health. And I don't do that. Again, I don't do it because I'm a health guy. I do it because it's a fact. The healthier you are, you tend to live a happier, healthier, better life, financially more successful, socially more successful. Mm-hmm. Better family connections, better family ties. It all interconnects. The simplest way I can put it is we all come from the earth. We all return to the earth. Why are we trying to fight that?
Right.
And that's what we're doing with our health today is we're battling Mother Nature head on. And it's been proven we lose every single time. Every single time you try and cut corners with Mother Nature is the easiest way to put it. You know, it's science, it's biology, it's chemistry. All these things are going on. And a good analogy, too, is look at our pets. We feed our pets and treat our pets exactly how we treat ourselves. Same crisis. Pets have diabetes, glaucoma, they're overweight, and they live a pretty miserable life the last couple years.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to talk health one time, I'm game, James. If you just want to do an episode, I'll gladly do it.
Yeah, I think that's a category that we could both really scream about. Because obviously we're both in the same sort of off-grid, sort of semi-off-grid. You know, like we choose our level of off-grid, like we said.
Yeah.
We do that too. But even though we both kind of get burned out in the health stuff, we both have a passion for it. And, you know, you talk to someone that's sort of switched on, you get kind of fired up.
Well, it's not that I'm burned out on health. I should say I'm burned out on the health industry is
yeah,
a better
yeah.
way.
That's, yeah. It's the same shit from the same – like, because I get the emails from some of the, you know, the big namers. And you see the trends going on, and it's just the same money-making shit and the same pushing and
it's over and over again, and that's why I said, you know – choosing the business model that I'm picking right now is a terrible one. I mean, on the health side, it was a terrible because I don't have the ability or the way in me just to take people's money. I want to help people in their health. And the people who truly are passionate about health, I've met a ton of them. You know, they get by. They get by. You know, the people who make a ton of money at health are ripping you off.
Oh, yeah.
Plain and simple. You know, and I give away a ton of free information on health. I always have. And I plan to – I hope that I can create with a simple life an ability to give the health stuff away all for free. Not the supplements, of course. I can't do that. I'd be a lot.
You'd be dead.
But
you couldn't afford it.
I couldn't afford that. But I would really like to be in a position where I can give the material away purely for free. And that is a goal of mine. I really want to do that because I think if I can do that and I can become, well enough known that I could put some of these people out of business. I would really like to put some of these health scammers just right out of business.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I'm just going to give it away. I'm going to give it away and I know my stuff works. I don't need to fight that battle. And make them go do something else, you know, let them come up with some other scam. You know, it is frustrating because the people who are really passionate about health, there it goes again, it's just a battle because we're outnumbered by the shortcutters and scammers, but 10 to 1, if not more.
Yeah. And their marketing agencies are the best. So.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they thrive at our insecurities and our lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And in order to be healthy, you got to have the knowledge. And that's what I always teach people. There's no easy pill, no simple button. You have to learn about your body. Our ancestors, people think we're very, we like to call our ancestors, as far as we get back into the thousands of years, as, you know, not very bright. They were far brighter than us.
Oh, yeah.
Undoubtedly. And not only that, but they were in tune with their bodies. Now, they may not have lived as long, but it was because simply they lived a far harsher life. I mean, they lived a far harsher environment. You know?
What's to say that their enjoyment of life was less? Like, you know, like if you live a long time and it's miserable, is that really better than living a shorter time but a better time? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I might be willing to trade, you know, some years for a better experience than, you know, people that live 30 years, like, you know, basically comatose. That's, you know.
Well, what's that famous saying? It's not about the quantity of years, it's the quality of life. Or not the... Well, yeah, it's not the quantity of years, but the quality of life.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I may be butchering it.
It is so true. Yeah. So.
Well, and who's to say we're supposed to live this long? Maybe we're cheating things a little bit. Who knows? You know, when it comes to the human body and our genetics, our DNA, we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
We really don't know what's going on.
No.
And that's, I mean, I like to go with what's proven and what I am an organism. Again, I come from the dirt. I will return to the dirt. What am I intended to do? What am I supposed to eat? How am I supposed to move? That, to me, is the simplest way to look at it because every organism on this planet is adapted to this planet and we tend to try and fight that and cut corners on it. And like I said, every time we do that, it bites us in the butt every single time. Yeah. You know, so why make it hard on yourself? We already know what works.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. The simple life, right?
Exactly. And with that, I'll go ahead and I'll let you go because I think we've
got past
the time that you have. Yeah. So sorry for running long, but...
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, we'll let you go. This will be up probably not this Wednesday, but it'll be up the following week. I'm going to try to knock out a solo episode today or tomorrow and then get this out the next week.
Okay.
And you said you're not on social media, so I don't need to drop links for that, but I will have links to the new website and then some Amazon links for you to get your new books, which I've started reading. Pretty good stuff.
So far, I will say that the positive feedback, I was scrambling trying to get this stuff redone. The feedback has been overwhelming. I'm really, really happy and psyched with the way I'm going because people have found the books very helpful.
Awesome.
And that's the whole point of it. I love when someone comes back and goes, man, you changed my life.
Yeah.
Your books, that's what I wanted to do. And I really, to me, it's like, wow, you know, that's what I want. You know, that's the effect I
that's
want.
That's the point. Yeah, that's why you do it. Like, money is the reason, but helping lives, that's the icing on the cake. You got to get paid to do it, but you do it to help people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is always should be the primary focus.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. It's been great having you on, Gary.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, James. I always have a blast.
Yeah. As always, you're welcome back anytime.
Alrighty. I appreciate that.
Talk to you later, Gary.
All right. See you, James.